Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can set for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you.
Can you lift your hands in worship and tell him tonight, there is none like you.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can say for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. And I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, have your way.
Tell him, Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my
heart. And I give you my soul.
I give you my soul.
I live for you alone.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away.
Tell him, Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way.
Tonight, have your way in us. Thank you, Father, that you have prepared a word for us that will help deepen our devotion and our commitment to you. And I pray tonight, let your Holy Spirit take charge. Let him prepare our hearts. Let him work on our minds. May the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Let us receive instruction and guidance and direction through your word. And may it help us to serve you better. And may it broaden our understanding of what you require of us. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You're welcome to our times of impartation. And for the next few weeks, I would like to share something very important with you. And it has to do with the subject of tithing and giving. Now, I have never taken my time like the way I am about to. Ever since the inception of this church, I have never thought extensively on the subject of tithing and giving. I have touched on it at different times, but to take it up as a subject on its own and to teach on it, I haven't done so. Why am I doing so now? Because I have the conviction that this is the time to do so. Hallelujah. And, you know, this subject of giving, especially with respect to tithing, is something that has sparked considerable discussion and even controversy among a lot of Christians. So many things have been said, so many opinions have been shared, especially on the social media, and all of that have added to the confusion about the subject of giving and the subject of tithing. What I aim to do through this series is to bring some clarity to the topic of tithing and giving, and to do so based strictly on the scriptures. Amen. It's not going to be based on sentiments. It's not going to be based on feelings. It's not going to be based on perception. It's going to be based on the scriptures. And my prayer is that as you listen, and for anybody who will watch later on, I pray that you'll be guided by what you hear to make the right decisions concerning supporting the work of God's kingdom. Can I have an amen? So the title of my sermon and my teaching is Tithing and Giving, Understanding It Biblically. Tithing and Giving, Understanding It Biblically. Did you get that? All right. Now, there are some people who have said that if you don't tithe, you are cursed. How many have heard that before? All right. And how many of you have ever at any point been frightened into tithing because you did not want to come under a curse? All right. Then there are others who also say that tithing is not for New Testament believers. So these are two extreme views on the subject. Now, you'll find out that I'll be stressing more on tithing because that's where the greatest controversies have been generated. All right. But you see, when you hear things like that, you must ask yourself that, so what is actually the truth? What is the truth about it? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about the subject of tithing? What does the Bible say about the subject of giving? And it's important to answer this question, because anything that is misunderstood in the scriptures, it can give rise to two results. Number one, people will just end up in bondage. Or number two, people are going to now become careless about a lot of things. So you kind of get these responses whenever there is a misunderstanding about the scriptures. And this is something that we must avoid. So we are going to try to look at the subject and rightly divide the word of truth. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Somebody say with me, rightly dividing the word of truth. What it means is that you can wrongly divide the word of truth. Amen. That is why there are different branches of theology that are intended to guide us to rightly divide the word of truth. That's why we study things like hermeneutics. That is why we study things. So hermeneutics have to do with the rule or the principles that must guide interpretation of the scriptures. Then we study things like exegesis, which has to do with taking a portion of scripture and then applying the rules of hermeneutics to explain the scripture. And these are very important, and these are very, very necessary so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. Praise the name of Jesus. So what questions or what subjects am I going to be looking at? Are we going to be considering under this teaching? And please, I need you to listen to me carefully. I need you to write down things. You must understand what is being shared with you today, so that in the area of giving, you will do so with a lot of knowledge and understanding, guided by the Holy Scriptures. And once you have that understanding, you will not be swayed by any human doctrine or doctrines of devils, because we have a lot of that in the body of Christ of late. So it's important for you that you grasp what I'm sharing with you, and it will help you to know what you are to do where giving is concerned. So I'm going to walk us through a number of things. We are going to look at the origin of tithing. Then we are going to look at when it actually began. I'm going to share with you the types of tithes, or different types of tithing in the Bible. Then we will look at the principle behind tithing. We will move on from there to look at the purpose for tithing. Then we will discuss how tithing and giving relates to the New Testament believer. Because after looking at everything, we must answer the question of, so how does that apply to the believer who is under the New Testament? We are going to do that. And then I'm also going to take a little time to talk about the errors and the excesses that you find today in relation to giving, in relation to tithing. And then finally, we're going to talk about how the believer should handle tithing and giving properly. Amen. So we're going to look at it from 8 different perspectives. And I'm certain that by the time I am done, you'll become an expert on the subject. And if you go anywhere and people are talking rubbish, you will know what answer to give to them. And you'll be doing so because you'll be coming from an informed perspective. Praise the name of Jesus. All right, so let's go straight into it. The first thing I want us to look at is the origin of tithing. How did it begin? How did it start? All right. If you read through your Bible, you'll discover that the word tithe or tithing or a tenth, you'll find these words used about 32 times in the Old Testament. 32 times. And then when it comes to the New Testament, it might interest you to know that that word is used about 11 times. It was used once in Matthew. And this is where Jesus himself talked about it or made reference to it. And then in Luke, again referring to when Jesus talked about it, you'll find that word there. And then again in Luke, you remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican who went into the temple to pray. I remember that the Pharisee, when he was praying, was commending himself that he pays tithe faithfully. So that the word tithing was used there. But most of the time that you find that word tithing in the New Testament, you'll find it in one chapter of the book of Hebrews. You find it about 8 times in Hebrews chapter 7. All right. So this is just to give you a few statistics about the word. So what does the word tithe, what does it really mean? Simply, the word tithe means a tenth or one tenth. Everybody say one tenth. And one tenth is equal to 10%. Is that not so? So that word tithe, wherever you find it being used, it is being used with reference to a tenth. So a tenth of, if you have 100 oranges, a tenth of the 100 oranges will be how many oranges? 10 oranges. All right? If you're talking about a tenth of 200 sheep, that would be equal to how many sheep? 20 sheep. Then if you talk about a tenth of 10 cows, what is a tenth of 10 cows? One cow. All right. So that's what the tithe is. It's a tenth of something. Now, the first time that word tithe appeared in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 14 from verse 18 to 20. And I want us to read it from the New Living Translation so we can identify the first appearance of the word tithe in the Bible. So in Genesis 14 verse 18 to 20, the Bible says, "And Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing: Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you." May God always defeat your enemies for you. That's it. Then look at what follows after this. The Bible says, "Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered." He gave him a tenth or a tithe of all the goods he had recovered. Now, this encounter is also recounted in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Let's look at what Hebrews said there. So, Hebrews 7, verse 1 to 4. Here, it is being explained to us who this Melchizedek was and what gave rise to that encounter with Abraham and all of that. This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God Most High. So he was both a king and a priest. He was both a king and a priest. Now, when Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. So what happened was that a confederation of kings attacked a place where Abraham's nephew, Lot and his family were. And they were apprehended by these enemies and carried away. And they took a lot of their things away. And when Abraham heard about it, he gathered some trained soldiers from his home, went to fight against these kings, and he overcame them. Obviously, it was because God was fighting for him. That's what I'm saying to you. May God defeat your enemies for you. And may God always fight on your behalf. Hallelujah. So after that experience, after rescuing Lot and after recovering the goods and everything, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. The Bible continues and says, "Then Abraham took a tenth, which is a tithe of all he had captured in battle, and he gave it to Melchizedek." The name Melchizedek means king of justice, and king of Salem means king of peace. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors. No beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Hallelujah. Now, let me correct this impression. Melchizedek was not Jesus Christ. He was not. All right? Because there are some people who teach that it was actually Christ who manifested himself as Melchizedek. And they say so because the Bible says in what I read that we don't have any record of his father or his mother or any of ancestors. We don't have his beginning. We don't have the end of his life. Now, the fact that the Bible says that does not mean that Melchizedek was Christ Jesus. In fact, the Bible says this Melchizedek remains a priest forever, resembling or say the Son of God. Now, when you say that somebody resembles another person, it doesn't mean that they are the same. All right? So in this case, what occurred was not a theophany. A theophany is where God manifests himself physically. That's not what happened here. It's just that this Melchizedek, we don't know much about him, but it doesn't mean that he was Christ. And the Bible says that Abraham took a tenth of everything he had recovered and he gave it to this Melchizedek. Now, at the time Abraham did this, there was no law. Amen? No law had been put in place concerning tithing. There was no law, there was no commandment, and there was no pressure. So why did he do it? He did it to honor him, and it was a voluntary giving. He gave voluntarily to Melchizedek, and the reason was just to honor him, because Melchizedek was both a king and a priest. And this was before the law came. This was before a commandment to tithe was given. And this was before all the pressure that came with the law was released. But after Abraham, we see that his grandson, Jacob, also gave tithe. Jacob vowed to give a tithe of everything that God blessed him with to God. And we read about that in Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 to 22. Remember that we are looking at the origin of tithing. And I'm drawing your attention to when tithing first came into operation and under what circumstances. So in Genesis 28, verse 20 to 22, now Jacob was running away from his brother Esau, who had sworn to kill him. And on his journey, it got very late, so he decided to rest for the night and continue during the day. He got himself some big boulders, laid his head on one of them and slept. The Bible says he had a dream, and in the dream, he saw a stairway that went all the way to heaven. And he saw angels ascending and descending, and then he saw the Son of God, or he saw God on top of that stairway. And God made a promise to him that I'm the God of your father Isaac and of your grandfather Abraham. I promised them that I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to fulfill that promise through you. You are going to be greatly blessed. All your descendants are going to be blessed. I will take care of you. And as you're going on this journey, I will bring you back. And God told him that where you are now, I'm going to give it to you as an inheritance. Now, to the scripture, Genesis 28, 20. Then Jacob, when he woke up, made this vow. If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. 22. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God. Now look at the next thing he pledged. He said, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. What was that? Tithe. I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. Now the Bible doesn't say how he did that and who he gave the tithe to. And I always explain that when the Bible is silent about certain things, leave it alone. Don't guess. That's not the time for conjecture and imagining all sorts of things, because that is what leads us into error at the end of the day. The Bible doesn't say who he gave the tithe to or whether he even fulfilled it. It's a promise he made. He said, I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. So we see that Abraham actually tithed, and then Jacob talked about tithing. And the point is that it was before the law. And in both cases, it was done, or it was mentioned with respect to honoring God, and it was a voluntary thing. It was not something that they were doing or something that they set out to do because somebody had instructed them to do so. Am I making sense so far? Is it easy for you to understand? So understand, therefore, that tithing did not start as a law. It started as a response of honor to God. That's how it started. It started as a voluntary giving, and it was a way of honoring God. Keep that at the back of your mind, because that is going to help us as we try to understand the subject of tithing and giving. So if you ask the question, therefore, that when did tithing really begin, there are actually two phases. What I just shared with you about Abraham tithing and Jacob tithing is what we can call pre-law tithing. Pre-law tithing. It came before the law of Moses came into operation. So there are two phases of tithing. If we are looking at when it began, there was the pre-law tithing done by Abraham, done by Jacob. But then after that, now we ended up with tithing under the law or under the Mosaic system. Remember that after God rescued the people of Israel from Egypt and decided to make them his own special people and make a nation out of them, he took them on a journey through the wilderness. And during that period, he gave laws to Moses. And included in those laws were instructions and commandments to tithe. There were 613 commandments under the Mosaic law. And out of them, between 10 and 15 were specific instructions to do with tithing. Out of the 613 commandments under the law of Moses, between 10 and 15 of them, it depends on how you count, had to do with tithing. So you will see that God, under the Mosaic law, institutionalized tithing. Look at Leviticus chapter 27, reading from verse 30 to 32. Leviticus 27, verse 30 to 32. So now, this is God giving an instruction to Moses under the law. One-tenth, which is what? The tithe of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruits from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. If you want to buy back the Lord's tenth of the grain or fruit, what it means is that you don't want to give the grain or the fruit, you don't want to give the produce, but you want to pay in kind, then the Bible says you must pay its value plus 20%. So you can buy it back. Then it was not just restricted to crops, but it even had to do with livestock. So it says, count off every tenth animal from your herds and flocks and set them apart for the Lord as holy. So you have 100 sheep. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The tenth one you must put aside. Then you move to the next 10. You count 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. The 20th, which is the 10th, you put it aside. And that one too, you say, Eyusu Oyanyameneza. So this was a law and a commandment and an instruction that God gave under the law. And it was mandatory. It was not voluntary and it was not optional. It was a command. Hallelujah. So to recap, there is tithing, which is pre-law tithing. Tithing that was done, and this was done by Abraham and Jacob before the law came into operation. And then also there is tithing under the law, under the Mosaic law. The first one was voluntary. The first one had to do with honoring God without anybody asking you to do so. And the second, which is the tithing under the law, was mandatory. It was a command. It was an instruction. And you could not, you did not have an option not to do it. Hallelujah. So now you understand the origin of the tithe and how it all began. Let's move on now and look at types of tithes in the Old Testament. Because that is where a lot of tithing, you know, was done. So there were different types of tithes in the Old Testament. Now, this is important in our discourse because there are many believers who do not realize that there was more than one tithe. There was more than one. So what were the different types of tithes that existed? The first type is what we call the Levitical tithe. Everybody say Levitical tithe. Say it again, Levitical tithe. Now, this was tithing that was given to support the Levites. Now, who were the Levites? Israel, yes, had 12 tribes. One of the tribes was the tribe of Levi or Levi. And God made an arrangement, a special arrangement for the tribe of Levi. Numbers 18, verse 21 to 24. Numbers 18, verse 21 to 24. When it was time to share property and share lands for the different tribes as they were entering the promised land, God said something. And this is what he said. As for the tribe of Levi, your relatives, I will compensate them for their service in the tabernacle. At this time, God had decided that the whole tribe of Levi was going to serve him and was going to do ministry and was going to take care of things to do with the temple and the tabernacle. He reserved that tribe to himself. And now he's saying that I will compensate them for their service in the tabernacle. They were the ones who did the service, you know, burning the incense, ministering in song, offering the sacrifices. They were the ones who did it. Then God said, instead of an allotment of land, I will give them the tithes from the entire land of Israel. From now on, no Israelites except priests or Levites may approach the tabernacle. Out of the Levites, there were some who were set aside as priests. And God said clearly that nobody else apart from these priests or Levites may approach the tabernacle. If they come too near, they will be judged guilty and will die. Only the Levites may serve at the tabernacle, and they will be held responsible for any offenses against it. This is a permanent law for you to be observed from generation to generation. The Levites, and God repeats it, will receive no allotment of land among the Israelites, because I have given them the Israelites' tithes. All the other tribes were to ensure that they bring a tenth of all their produce, whether crops or livestock, whatever it is, they were to bring a tenth of it and present as sacred offerings to the Lord. And the Bible says that this will be the Levite's share. That is why I say they would receive no allotment of land among the Israelites. So we see here the first type of tithe, the Levitical tithe, which was tithing that was supposed to be given to the Levites and to the priests. And if you read Hebrews chapter 7 verse 5, it affirms the structure. So look at Hebrews 7 verse 5. Now the law of Moses required that the priests who are descendants of Levi or Levi must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel who are also descendants of Abraham. So in the New Testament, it is just touching on what happened under the Old Testament. So the first type of tithe that existed was the Levitical tithe. Hallelujah. But that was not the only tithe that existed. There was also the festival tithe. Everybody say festival tithe. Say it again, festival tithe. So what is the first type of tithe? The Levitical tithe. And what is the second type of tithe? Festival tithe. Now this tithe was for worship celebrations and feasts. It was intended for worship celebrations and feasts. According to the law of Moses, there were times when the people were supposed to gather for feasts and for celebrations. And anytime they gathered, they were supposed to bring a tithe of whatever they had for the festival, for the celebration, and for the worship. We read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 to 23. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 to 23. You must set aside a tithe of your crops, one tenth of all the crops you harvest each year. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, in Jerusalem, and eat it there in his presence. This applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn males of your flocks and herds. Doing this will teach you always to fear the Lord your God. To fear here means to revere, to honor, and to respect. So here is the thing. Apart from the Levitical tithe that was instituted, God also asked them to give another tithe. So if you add the two, that is what percent? What percent? 20. 20%. And we haven't even finished. All right? And this particular tithe, the festival tithe, God instructed that whenever it was time for the celebrations, for their worship feast and all of that, everybody, when you are going, should take along, you know, a tithe of all your crops, of all the wine, the olive oil, and the firstborn males of all your flocks. Take them for the festival. And during the festival, eat the tithe. So that one is not for the priest. It is not for the Levites. It is for the people and their families to enjoy. Yes. Yes. So that was what it was for. And the purpose was for worship, for fellowship before God. And it was for them to be happy and enjoy in the presence of the Lord. God is not against you enjoying. Tell your neighbor, from today, I will enjoy. All right. So that is the second type of tithe. But it doesn't end there. The third type of tithe is what I call compassion tithe. Or the tithe for the poor. Compassion tithe. Compassion tithe. And this tithe was an additional tithe that was required of the people every 3 years. There was the Levitical tithe that came after every harvest. I mean, once you have sheep and they multiply and everything, you know that a tenth belongs to the Lord. If you plant your crops when you harvest, you know that a tenth of what you harvest belongs to the Lord. So as many times as you plant is as many times as you pay the tithe. And as many times as your flock multiply is as many times that you present the tithe. But every 3 years, there was a commandment where the people were to give a tithe And this was the purpose of it. Deuteronomy 14, verse 28 to 29. Deuteronomy 14, verse 28 to 29. At the end of every third year, bring the entire tithe of that year's harvest. So that whole year, bring the entire tithe and store it in the nearest town. Give it to the Levites, who will receive no allotment of land among you, as well as to the foreigners living among you, the orphans and the widows in your towns, so they can eat and be satisfied. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all your work. So this was another type of tithe, which had to be presented after every 3 years. And the purpose of it was mostly compassion. It was for social or communal welfare. And then there was also, it was for compassion, and it was also for justice, because remember that it referred again to the Levites, that they needed to get something. It was only fair to support them with the tithe. But this particular tithe served more of a compassion purpose. God was thinking about the foreigners or the strangers living amongst them. God was thinking about orphans. God was thinking about widows. And he wanted to take care of them. So God wants the vulnerable to be taken care of. And one of the reasons and one of the purposes of the tithe was to take care of the vulnerable and to do works of compassion. Hallelujah. So you can see, therefore, that based on this, we've identified three types of tithing. What is the first one again? The Levitical tithe. The second one, the festival tithe. And then the third one, the compassion tithe. Now, do you realize that if you put everything together, it is more than 10% annually? It's more than 10%. Which is why, when people insist on exactly 10%, they don't realize that the whole tithing system was more complex than they thought, or it's more complex than they are thinking. Because if you look at it critically, it was actually more than 10%. It was even more than 20%. So what that should tell you is that if you become very rigid with a tenth or 10%, you will end up in error. Because the truth is that what they gave every year was more than 10%. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So I have shared with you the origin of the tithing when it all began. I've explained to you that there was the pre-law tithing, which was what Abraham and Jacob did. I've also shared with you about the tithing under the law, which was the Mosaic system. And then I've shared with you three types of tithes: the Levitical tithe under the Old Covenant, of course, the festival tithe, and then the compassion of the poor tithe. So now, after establishing this, the next thing we want to look at, and that will end the teaching for today, is the principle behind the tithing. Everybody say principle. Say it again, principle. All right. So we want to understand that what was the principle behind the tithing? In other words, what was the thinking? What was the mind behind it? If you look at it, if you look at the pre-law tithing, and you also look at the tithing under the law, you discover that there were principles that governed the tithing. And that is what we want to understand, and then we end today's session. Now, as we are getting into the principle behind the tithing, I want to say something very clearly to you, that God is not looking for your money. or God is not after your money. Did you hear me? God is not after your money. And let me put it in another. God doesn't need your money. The reason is because every money belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. He said, the gold is mine, the silver is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills, all of them are mine. So get that thing out of your mind. If you've been thinking it, that God needs my money or God wants my money. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't want your money. So understand that very clearly. Now let's look at the core principles behind the tithe. Principle number one is to honor God. A principle or the mind behind the tithing is to honor God. Everybody say, to honor God. That tithing is to honor God. All right. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10. Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10. I'll not be able to finish this. We have just a few minutes to go. And I want to read this time from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions. King James says, your substance. Honor the Lord. Your possessions, your substance is what you have. Which you must never forget that it is God who gave you the power to have that thing. And it is God who gave you that thing. That's why the Bible says, a man cannot receive anything except it be given him by the Lord. Even if you don't serve God, even if you don't acknowledge God, even if you don't worship God, and you have something, and that thing is a good thing, it came from God. Because the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And that it descends from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. And the instruction here, or the scripture here, is saying, honor the Lord with your possessions. What you possess, what you have, what belongs to you, honor the Lord with it. And then the next thing it says, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Everybody say, first fruits. And with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats or your wine presses will overflow with new wine. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, I want to draw your attention to that word, first fruits. First fruits. You may have noticed that some churches refer to tithe as first fruits. Other churches refer to it as first and best. So these are all, if you like, derivatives for basically the same thing. But the truth really is that the first fruits were different from the tithe. And what this means is that even what I mentioned, like the three types of tithe, was just one aspect that had to do with tithing. But beyond that, there was another level of giving that the people were supposed to give. And they were supposed to give their first fruits. So what were the first fruits? So the first fruits were the very first portion of any harvest or increase that you reap. So the earliest crops that ripened, you were supposed to take all of it and give it to the Lord. So that's what's called the first fruit. And in other places, it is referred to as the first and the best. All right. So if you harvested corn, when you plant your corn or maize, and the first harvest comes, that first harvest is your first fruits. You are supposed to present it to the Lord. If you plant wheat, barley, grapes, olives, fix, date. The first fruits from what you planted is supposed to go to the Lord. So anytime you plant, what you reap first is supposed to go to the Lord. And that is what is called the first fruits. And I believe that the reason why some churches prefer to use first fruits is that it's like when you work and you earn a salary, you take the first part of the salary and, you know, to them, so it's like a tenth of it, and you present it to the Lord as your first fruits. But the problem with that is not really a problem, it's interpretation, is that they are mixing two different things. There's a difference between the first fruits and the tithe. And the first fruits, strictly, when you plant and you harvest, the first harvest that you reap, Onyawaza, you can't eat of it. You take all and give it to the Lord. Ejiriba, Onyaminasem, and America. That's what is called the first fruits. And even your animals. You have a cow. You have a goat. You have sheep. When they born, the first, you take it and present it to the Lord. And it's supposed to be an act of gratitude. Okay? And again, like I said, it is also referred to as first and best to emphasize the need that whatever was being presented had to be of good quality without defect. So if you, whatever you reaped or you harvested, you have to check and be sure that it's good quality. If you realize that some is good, some is not good, then you take out the one that is not good, I believe, and present the one that is good to the Lord. So in Exodus 23 verse 19, it says, as you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. So you see first and best. First and best. Then it says you must not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. That's another sermon for another day. All right. So we see first fruits here. And it says honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. So what is the key difference between the first fruits and tithe? Because I'm explaining to you that there are two different things. Now the distinction is here. With the first fruits, in terms of timing, you give it first at the beginning of the harvest. That's why it's called first fruits. So you harvest and you take that first harvest and present it to the Lord. So it's at the beginning of the harvest. But the tithing was after you have harvested. And it was a specific amount, 10% of it. So the first fruit is first at the beginning. You take everything or what is the best out of what you harvested and present to the Lord. But for the tithe, you do the harvesting, then you measure 10% of what you harvested and you take it and present it to the Lord. Then the first fruits were like the first and the best portion. And it was not necessarily 10%. There was no percentage associated with it. It was everything that is first and is good, you present it to the Lord. But when it came to the tithing, it was exactly 10%. So that's also another difference. And the two had different meanings. You see, with the first fruits, what you were actually saying when you present it to the Lord is that, God, you are first. You come first. You are first in my life. And it is something that you're doing to honor God and also as a sign of your faith. That as you are taking the first fruits, your first harvest and presenting it to the Lord, you have faith that God will bless the subsequent harvest and something good will come out of it. Hallelujah. So that was the meaning of the first fruit. But for the tithe, the meaning is 10%. Exactly 10%. All right? Exactly 10%. And when you present it, you are saying that, God, this portion belongs to you, and I'm giving it in obedience to the instruction that you have given, and I'm giving it in obedience to a system that has been set in place. Hallelujah. And then in terms of the use of it and the presentation of it, the first fruits were brought directly to the priest as an offering of gratitude to say, thank you, Father, for this harvest that I am about to experience. I'm bringing the first of it to say, thank you, Lord, for blessing my efforts. And then, you know, for the tithe, you gave, it was given as part of a structured system that had been set in place to sustain the ministry and for community welfare. So there are two different things. The first fruits and the tithes are not exactly the same thing. Hallelujah. Now, I think I will end here by saying something that may be a bit controversial and may make some people angry with me if they hear it, which is this. You know, there are some churches and there are some ministries that insist that when you start working, take your entire salary, the first salary that you earn, and then come and present it to the Lord as your first fruits. Have you heard something like that before? Yes. So they are using this principle of the first fruits and are insisting that if you belong to their church and to their ministry, then when you start working, you take the first salary and you come and present it to the Lord as your first fruits. What is that? Then there are those who also insist that every year your January salary must be presented to the Lord as your first fruits. So there are ministries that believe that. I don't subscribe to that. And I don't agree with it. Because they have taken a scripture, something from the Bible, and are applying it wrongly. That's what they've done. And they will give you, you know, reasons and explanation that even our culture teaches us that your first salary, you must give it to your parents. Did your daughters bring their first salary to you? You see, did they bring their first salary to you? Go and tell them that they owe you. They did something. Talonu knows you. That's how it is. All right. Now, whatever it is, okay, I think that it is overstretching things. And that's what I have a problem with. That sometimes, as pastors and ministers of the gospel, in order to get people to give, we overstretch the scriptures. And then we try to turn it to mean something else. So it's not something that I subscribe to. And I want to say also that, you see, when you're doing these things, ask yourself, that does it sound like something that Jesus would do? That if Jesus is the pastor of this church, will he ask people that your first salary, bring it to me. And every year, your January salary, bring it to me. I don't think so. Because you saw with Jesus a certain compassion that guided virtually everything that he did. Because you have to ask yourself, how would they survive? How would they make it? There are bills to be paid. There's a family to take care of. There are responsibilities to be handled. How would they survive if they bring that whole thing and present it to you? I heard somebody interviewing a pastor. He said to the pastor that, I hear that you've given a lot of cars to your church members. So he said, yes, more than 200 cars. And then the one doing the interview said to the pastor that, but there are a lot of poor people in your church. And his response was, I didn't ask them to be poor. I didn't ask them to be poor. All right? So, sometimes I think that as pastors and ministers of the gospel, we detach ourselves too much from the congregation and from the members and from feeling for them in a certain way. So if you ask me, I will say that it is something that is not being properly applied. Like I said, I may ruffle some feathers with this statement, but we will get more into it as we move along. But I trust that you've been blessed with this first teaching on the tithing, and we've looked at the origin of the tithing, where it all began. We've looked at the types of tithing, and then we are moving on now. We've moved on to the principle governing the tithing. And I've shared the first one with you, that we tithe to honor God. All right? I also explained to you the difference between the first fruits and the tithe. We're going to end here, and then next week, we are going to continue with the principles of the tithing. But I pray that God will help you to really understand these things more, and let them guide you in your giving. God bless you. Shall we rise to our feet and pray? Father, I want to thank you today, and we bless you for your word and what we've heard about the tithing specifically. I know, Father, that you want us to know the truth, because the truth is what sets us free at the end of the day. May everything that we've learned here guide and direct us and help us to do what is right in terms of giving to support the work of God, the kingdom of God, and things of the house of God. I thank you for everyone. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.